Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It ain't too early and it ain't too late.
Starting as a farmer with a brand new wife.
Soon be living in a brand new state.
Brand new state, gonna treat you great.
Pasture for the cattle. Plenty of room to swing a rope.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night my honey lamb and I sit alone and talk and watch a hawk making lazy circles in the sky. We know we belong to the land.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Oklahoma for you. We're doing that in celebration of Donald Trump's trip to Tulsa tomorrow night. Oklahoma, that was a great musical. Came out in 1943 and then became a big hit on the movies, I think around 1955. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for joining us on this Friday, June the 19th. Hey, we're 2 days away from the longest day. Have you noticed outside? Sun hanging around a little bit longer at night now? And pops up a little bit earlier in the morning as well. Two more days, we're going to be on our longest day. Going to be talking, by the way, in a few minutes with Derek Scissors. He is from the American Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the worst kept secret right now in the world. And that's China's COVID-19 figures. Does anybody buy what they say anymore? I don't think so. Anyway, we're going to talk about some of the things that China is doing when it comes to cover-up on this pandemic. And while Donald Trump prepares for that rally tomorrow night, since the this is his first, by the way, since the pandemic, Fox News poll showing Joe Biden, 12-point lead on the president. We're going to get some perspective on all of this with the proprietor of the Barber poll, the real poll, the Mainstream America poll, Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that. And why do Democrats keep fighting to keep inner city children from attending private schools and charter schools when they know that the kids will get a better education there? Why do they do that? We're going to talk about it. And then our ultimate top 10. The top 10 deadliest natural disasters in history. Stay tuned for that one. By the way, I got a kudos to our buddy Paul and Tracy. They do a wonderful show, don't they? From 8 to 10, Monday through Friday on the Tan Talk Radio. Good morning, Clearwater. They're so bright and bubbly. Makes me sick. I can't be that bright and bubbly. But they are very energetic as well. I love them. Paul and Tracy, good morning, Clearwater. Well, we got so much going on right now, and this DACA, Deferred Action Children's Program, which was launched by an executive order by Barack Obama, didn't go through Congress, allowing the children that were born in this country of illegal immigrants to stay and continue on. And I think everybody understands that if they were born in this country, they should have a shot at staying here. I don't think too many people argue about that. They might argue about their parents sneaking over illegally. But I think a lot of people get upset that these children and the parents get all of these benefits that Americans that are real citizens have worked for. And then they get them, you know, handed to them. And, I can understand that. So they come out with this new ruling, the Supreme Court, and once again, John Roberts turns himself into a pretzel to allow the executive order of Barack Obama and disallow the executive order of Donald Trump. Trump, in the wake of the DACA ruling, which was a defeat for him in the Supreme Court, is now talking about getting new justices. He's calling for new justices as conservatives take aim at Roberts. You know, Roberts came on board as a selection by George Bush, and everybody thought he was pretty conservative at the time, but he's the same guy that turned himself into a, I don't know what you want to call it, he rubber banded his decision on the Affordable Care Act. He called the Affordable Care Act a tax. Oh, really? He wanted to justify that people had to pay for it, whether they wanted to or not. Well, no. I mean, the simple truth is it's a product like anything else, and you don't have to buy it. If you don't want health care, you should not be forced by the federal government to take it or have to pay a penalty on your IRS tax document if you don't take it. But that's what he decided. And he's now decided that Trump did not go about getting rid of the DACA program in the right way. Oh, really? So that's a technicality. But here is what Trump had to say. I think this was in one of his many tweets. The recent Supreme Court decisions, not only on DACA, sanctuary cities, census, and others, tell you only one thing. We need new justices of the Supreme Court. He says if the radical left Democrats assume power, your Second Amendment, right to life, secure borders, and religious liberty, among many other things, are over and gone. So there you go. He's upset about that. Well, they're not going to do anything about DACA and any of that until after the election. Congress is certainly not going to take it up. I mean, this is something that Congress should handle, should it not? These executive orders, you cannot run and do what the intention of the Constitution was. In other words, legislate. Even Obama said his DACA order was illegal. Do you remember that? He said, I'm not going to issue anything about DACA. It would be it's something that the Senate or the Congress has to handle. And then he went ahead and he did the executive order anyway. So even he agreed that he did not have the right to set up a program to keep the children of illegal immigrants in the country. So anyway, there we go. And this is not the first decision that is bothering conservatives. You just recently had that decision on the LGBTQ, I guess. Do I have those letters right? LGBTQ? Ed says I do. If Ed says I do, I do. And that was kind of a hit broadside also for those that believe that the civil rights law was not actually looking at behavior. And we talked about this on a previous show. Now we're legislating behavior. You know, sex and gender is one thing. Race is one thing. If you're born white or black or Asian or Hispanic or Native American, that has nothing to do with behavior. That's genes. And we respect that everybody is equal. But when it comes to behavior, now we're going to decide what behavior is right. Okay. I always, as a libertarian, believe that consenting adults can do anything they want. That would include polygamy. I mean, if behavior is all of a sudden allowable by this civil rights law, then why not polygamy? If everybody agrees to it, why not have a husband with five wives or a wife with five husbands, right? I mean, you see where we're going with all of that? Anyway, let's take our break. We're going to change topics. We're going to talk about what in the heck is China doing with all this pandemic going on, and how honest are they?
How can one guy be I kissed her, she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. By the way, we are delighted to be here with you on Freedom Works. And also delighted to have with us Derek Scissors. He is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. He has expertise in particular on China, among other things. And we're going to talk with him about what's going on with China and the way they are reporting what's going on with the pandemic. Derek, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I think the worst kept secret in the world is that China is not giving us accurate information on the pandemic from the very start. I mean, they were even telling us that it didn't really originate in China at one point, correct? They were saying something like it may have come from Europe. There was talk that it might have come from the United States. Go ahead. No, that's all right. The numbers are ridiculous. I mean, we all know there are probably more cases in China than any other country.
That's right. I mean, they still will insinuate, well, we don't really know where the pandemic started. It's very much like a badly written criminal on TV, where, you know, they just say these very obvious things, denying their own culpability. With regard to the numbers, yeah, there are many different ways to see that they're lying. And yesterday you had a U.S. government official who said, oh, I think they're lying by a factor of 10. That you'd have to add a zero to all Chinese numbers, and in fact that's too low. It's probably more a factor of 20 or 25 or 30. And the reason that's important is what you said at the beginning. They have lied about the seriousness of this from the start. They're still lying, and that affects how other countries responded. Why would anyone think this was a major problem at the beginning of the year when China said, "Oh, four people have it, and there's no human-to-human transmission"? That was a lie. And it affected how we responded here and how other countries responded as well.
Yeah. And then the World Health Organization backs up what China was saying about some of this stuff. And I wondered, why would WHO be in the back pocket of China? Do you have any idea?
Look, I mean, this is a very stark statement, but international organizations survive on the patronage of the countries that give them money. They don't come into existence out of altruism. Not just the World Health Organization, but the rest of them as well. And China is the second most important country in the world. They often give the second most money, or even sometimes the first, to these organizations. The organizations don't want to cross them.
Wow.
And the WHO in particular has a close relationship with the Chinese.
You know, that was a jolt, though, because we believe in that. It's sort of like the, what is that? These organizations like the Red Cross, or I'm just throwing one out. You know, you just, if you ever heard anything bad about what they did, it would really set you back, because you always would think, you know what, they're really out there to do the right thing. And then you hear about this with WHO. But getting back to China, why is it, Derek, that a country like China would want to intentionally deceive people? Do they not understand, with a little bit of thought, that they will be found out? Or is it because they are such control freaks inside their country that they can't help themselves?
I think it's the latter. This whole process of not recognizing the pandemic started as, I don't believe the people saying it was a biological weapons experiment. I think it started as an accident. But even as an accident, you're supposed to respond to an accident in a certain way. And China didn't. And Xi Jinping is a cult of personality dictator, and he's supposed to be a miracle worker. So if you tell the truth, you look bad. Like, you didn't know what to do here. Why should you be in charge? You couldn't handle this. All these people died, and you didn't even know what was going on. So he's never going to do that. And you're right that he's taking a global hit. The world is seeing China in a different and worse light. But what he thinks is what matters is telling enough lies at home that no one knows what actually happened. And they've tried that with Tiananmen Square, too, so it's not a new thing.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Derek Scissors, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, great organization. And Derek has a particular expertise on China. He's kind of been studying it, their economics and everything else about them. So, you know, we've got this situation now with the pandemic, and at the same time, it seems like China is trying to take advantage in some Machiavellian way, I would say, with some of the other things they want to get done. As an example, creating more of those little island fortresses in the South China Sea, and perhaps intimidating Taiwan, their nemesis for all of these generations, a little bit more. I mean, do they not? And then they've got the social unrest from within, in particular Hong Kong. I don't know what my question is. Maybe it's this to you, Derek. Is there any chance, based on your knowledge, that China could be undone by all of these things happening? I mean, are all of these things coming to boil at the same time? Could this be a way of an overthrow of the current regime, or am I just being Pollyannish here?
Well, I wish you weren't, but I think you might be.
Yeah.
There are vulnerabilities in this regime. This is the problem with having this one leader that you have to praise all the time, and everything rests on him. You know, China is run by the Communist Party, but it's now run by Xi Jinping's Communist Party. This is a little bit like Putin in Russia. You know, who are the other leaders in China? I know because I study China, but nobody else does.
Right.
Because he eclipses them all. So if somebody were to get mad at him and say, you've caused us this problem with the pandemic, and, you know, in Hong Kong and elsewhere, and he were to somehow, you know, be taken out of the scene, then you'd have a lot of instability in China because he's created this cult of personality. But the downside here is, look, I mean, China survived the Great Leap Forward, where they starved tens of millions of their people. They survived the Cultural Revolution, where you had gangs of teenagers roaming the country and arresting Communist Party officials. They survived Tiananmen. So far, the party's been really good at surviving its own mistakes. So, you know, as a student of China, I have to say, even though Xi has created these problems for the country, he's probably going to survive.
Yeah. You know, everybody thought that once we did business with China, and once China really got into doing things and creating products, and, you know, Hong Kong was affixed back to their country from England and all of that stuff, that the economics would be kind of, you know, from within, it would start to dissipate, I guess you might say, the whole control and socialism and, you know, communism kind of thing. But that has not happened. They've been able to take advantage of economics and seem to thrive in it. Any reason why you see that? Is it just, I mean, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I am old enough to remember those arguments. I actually believed in them, and I was wrong. Let's just, you know, be straight out. I was a younger man who didn't know as much, and I was wrong. A lot of other people were wrong, including President Clinton.
Right.
So we had this idea that China had started reforming, which they had, and they would just continue. And we didn't think about the possibility that there would be groups within the country who didn't like reform and or liked it enough to line their own pockets, and that was as far as it goes. And we have both of those. We have, you know, people who say, oh, capitalism is Western evil, and we have people who say, no, capitalism is great for me, and then it should stop there. You know, I've made a lot of money, and that's enough with changing our society. I want to stay in charge. So we were being, you know, all of us were being too optimistic in the 90s, and we've seen that the, you know, reform can go forward and help China, which it did for, 15, 20 years or longer, and then it can also be reversed. And unfortunately, we now have a situation where you have a real dictator. It's not just a dictatorship of the party. It's a dictatorship of one person. So we've seen it go backwards under the previous leader, and now it's gone further backwards. The deterioration in China is coming up on 20 years old now. It's not just an aberration or an accident, and we'll get back to the positive move toward democracy later. That's not happening.
Okay. We're talking with Derek Scissors. Again, he is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Expertise in the all things China, among other things, not just China. He's got a lot of expertise on Asia in general. So are we going to get any kind of, because China seems to be blocking our entry, say, you know, to go into Wuhan, where apparently this whole thing started, and, you know, check it into what happened. I guess we'll never know exactly. It may have started in a lab accidentally, or may have started in one of those markets, perhaps. Maybe we'll never know that. Will that be any kind of an impediment to, in your opinion, to our getting some sort of antidote for this thing?
It could be. You know, I'm not a medical... First of all, you're absolutely right. We're never going to be allowed access to the outbreak site. We're never going to get the information from the Chinese until the party's gone. I mean, you and I, sorry to say this, will probably both be dead before the party
is
dead.
I'm afraid so.
Right. So we're not going to get that information. And, you know, I'm not a medical professional, but I would think that the understanding the origin of the virus can only help. And so we're continuing to be denied by the Chinese information that's necessary to help Americans and people around the world. They probably have it. Who knows? I mean, maybe they don't have good information either. You know, and this still matters. They're going to try to beat us to a virus, to a vaccine for the virus, and then say, look, we're helping everyone, which is kind of like the arsonist bringing a hose to the fire
after
it got started. But, you know, they're going to keep, they either don't have that information or they're going to keep it for themselves, and under no circumstances they're going to let them let us have it. And it can't possibly hurt for us to know that, and it could help. Mm-hmm. And so they're still hurting Americans with their attitude. It didn't stop a couple months ago. It's still going on now.
What, on another topic with China, where is all this clashing with Hong Kong going to, in your opinion, lead? Are we gonna see China clamp down on the freedom of Hong Kong?
I think it's inevitable. That's why they recently passed a law saying, in cases of national security, China has the right to intervene in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was supposed to be governed by separate laws, and they changed that in the last couple months. And they did that because, in my opinion, they want to be able to pull out protest leaders from their homes and disappear them, make them go into China and you don't see them again until they recant, under a forced confession on video. And the point of that is to scare people away from organizing protests. That's what they're doing this for. So I think we are going to see people just vanishing in Hong Kong, not to be seen again for months or years, and they come back and say, I'm so sorry, I clashed with the Communist Party. And that's the way the Chinese keep control, by scaring everyone.
Well, it's not an optimistic outlook, but we certainly appreciate your thoughts on all of this, Derek. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Sorry to be so negative.
No.
Hope everybody has a good weekend.
Indeed. Thank you. All right. Derek Scissors, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Donald Trump going to be going to Tulsa tomorrow for a huge rally. I mean, they got, 100,000 people that are going to be probably turned away from this thing. In the meantime, Joe Biden has got a 12-point lead on the president. We're going to talk about all of this with the master himself, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Thank you very much for being with us on this Friday. Before we get to our buddy, the Master Barber, I wanted to let you know that in honor of today, this is, what is this day called? Juneteenth. That's what it is. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has ordered the removal of portraits in the Capitol of previous House speakers who served in the Confederacy. This is in celebration of the observance of Juneteenth today. She said, Pelosi did, that she discovered the four portraits as she was taking inventory. They happened to all be coming from the South, and she's decided that they should not be hanging during the Juneteenth. She says, to appropriately observe Juneteenth this year, I write today to request the immediate removal of the portraits of Robert Hunter of Virginia, Howell Cobb of Georgia, James Orr of South Carolina, and Charles Crisp of Georgia. All four were speakers of the House, but they happened to be from the Confederacy. So
I agree. We should remove the portraits and hang Nancy Pelosi.
You don't mean hang Nancy Pelosi's portrait, just hang Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. Andrew, did you hear what he said?
Well, first of all, happy Juneteenth Day.
Thank you very much. We've got our Juneteenth uniforms on. Go ahead.
And again, you forgot to introduce me as a senior fellow at Andrew's Barbershop.
I forgot that you're the proprietor, first of all, of the greatest poll in the world, a barber poll, and you are indeed the senior man. I've seen
there you.
You're literally.
Hey, Paul, you want to know something?
Yes.
This is the first time in my 65 years on Earth I heard about Juneteenth Day.
Me too. I didn't.
I'm going to go out and barbecue this afternoon and celebrate.
Exactly.
Because it's a new holiday I never heard. These people are so full of crap, and they're trying to pull out anything they can. Juneteenth Day. Give me a break. You want to celebrate your freedom, celebrate it on the 4th of July like everybody else. We all became free that day.
There you go. Why is Nancy Pelosi then rubbing salt in the wounds by taking down portraits of speakers of the House because they're from the South? This is such ridiculous. Let's move on. Tomorrow, in Tulsa, at night, Donald Trump is going to be holding his first rally since the pandemic. They've got hundreds of thousands of people that want to get in. I only think that the stadium holds about 15,000 or so.
20,000.
Okay, about 20,000. Are we worried about anybody catching the virus?
You know, Paul, again with this virus, I want to know the death rates, okay? I'm tired of hearing about who's catching it, who's this. Everybody's going to catch a virus, okay, here and there. Mm-hmm. I want to know how many people are dying. So far, 3,000 people out of 23 million people have died in Florida. 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the percentage of 3,000 to 23 million people?
It's infinitesimal percent. It's like a point something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. They're trying to keep the economy slowed down. Look at Jane Castorated and what's his name over there, Christman in St. Pete. Not everybody's wearing masks. You aren't going nowhere. You can't go to the bathroom without a mask. You know what? They want to ruin the economy and keep it ruined until November. Mm-hmm. That's their agenda, Paul.
Now, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says, no, we're continuing to move forward on all of this. We're not going to take any steps back. He's not being intimidated so far.
No, well, hey, Ron, let me tell you something. Ron is a man of integrity. I got faith in what he's doing. I see, you know, the thing with Ron is Ron comes out with all his statistics. He shows you the facts. It's like you said, the news can tell you this, but here are the facts. And he puts the charts right in front of you to look at.
Yeah.
And that's a third grade education reading graphs, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. I think you're right. We're talking with the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, how's everything going as far as your business?
Well, Paul, you know, the business is still slow. I'm not going to tell you we're booming.
Yeah.
It's slow because they keep putting fear in the people. But you know what? People are getting tired of the fear, Paul. Most Americans aren't afraid.
And I can tell you that you've got a spotless place. You always did. In fact, you're almost a germaphobe, I think, and that's good when you do a business like a barbershop. So I can tell you, you could have no worries if you go to Andrew's place. Now, Andrew,
well,
go ahead.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. Remember that.
I shall. Now, this kind of surprised me. A Fox News poll now shows that Donald Trump is
They must have been polling the people in Seattle in their district there, Paul.
Well, let me finish before you laugh me out of the studio. Donald Trump is down 12 points to Joe Biden in this latest poll. Now, they claim that because of the way he has been handling both the pandemic and also the protesting, that somehow this is influencing it. I do not buy these numbers. I've never bought these numbers. I mean, I still think Trump is going to, the way things are
going, he's going to landslide him.
I think he's going to landslide. I think a tsunami is in the works.
Look at the moron Biden. Look at the campaign he's running. He don't have one. Okay, and look at, what's her name there this morning? You better make sure you get a black woman to be your vice president. You can't have a white woman. Paul, we talked the other day. What does Rasmussen report saying about the black vote for President Trump?
Well, I have to say, I'm going to tell our listeners that Andrew and I have talked off air about the fact that Rasmussen may have said that there's a 40% approval rating for Donald Trump in the black community. I went to their website, and to be honest with you, Andrew, I did not see that. I'm still waiting for any kind of word on that, but I think maybe Facebook, somebody kind of just, you know how those things go on Facebook.
Paul, we're going to find out.
We'll find out.
You know what? I really don't believe the blacks are that stupid, to be honest.
No,
I think they're pretty
not.
Smart people.
They are.
They're pretty smart people, and they've been dumbified. And it's just like you were saying earlier in the show. Why do the Democrats want to keep these people in the inner cities and these schools that are lower? Why do they want to let them go to you? You know why? They want to keep them stupid, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
And they're beholden.
They don't want them educated.
And they're beholden to the unions, which send a lot of money. And that's really what it is. It's money talks. And
Paul, let me ask you another question. How powerful are the unions now anymore? Let's be real. They're not, Paul.
They're not. But in the teachers' area, they're still fairly powerful. You know that because they...
But you know, Paul, what I see with all these liberal teachers that are out there, they need to do a Ronald Reagan like he did with the air traffic controllers. What was it, 1978, I believe, something like that?
Yeah, 1980.
1980, where he fired all the air traffic 81. Controllers.
Yeah.
Okay, he fired all... They ought to fire all these freaking teachers. Start all over from scratch
now
again.
That would be interesting. Wave, I'm telling you. Wave his magic wand, and they're all gone.
Look at how they've been brainwashing these kids. Come on.
Yeah.
When you see all these the white kids out there protesting, come on, let's be real. Everybody's got equal rights today. It's like I told everybody, 13%. The black population is 13% in this country, and I can guarantee you it's 1/100th of a percent that's causing these problems.
Oh, there's no question.
Okay?
99%.
And people need to see that.
Absolutely right. Now, I want to get back to something you touched on, and that is the vice presidency. Amy Klobuchar has now announced, you may not know this, Andrew, she's removing herself as a candidate to be Joe Biden's vice president. She told MSNBC that she thinks a woman of color should be on the ticket. Now, you and I have talked about this as well. I think it could very well be a black woman from Florida that becomes the vice presidential candidate. And the reason is that Biden needs to win Florida. What do you think?
Well, I believe it's going to be a black woman. I don't know it's going to be from Florida. If it is, I believe it's going to be that one down in, I believe it's Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of her name. If it is.
I think he
needs somebody a lot more powerful than that.
Well,
I don't think that's going to cut it.
She doesn't have big name recognition, but she has all of the other credentials. Florida, black, woman, you know? And
that don't mean nothing, I don't think. People aren't that stupid, Paul.
No.
People aren't that stupid. They want somebody in there today that's going to make things happen. Where people are tired of hearing this race crap, Paul. This country is not run on race.
Right.
It's run on business, okay? Race isn't going to pay the bills. Race isn't going to make the money. We need to live. We need to get along, period.
Right. Now, also, I want to know where Joe Biden gets his non-energy pills. I bet he takes about 5 a day. I watched him talk about Trump working harder. It was so funny to watch Joe Biden, who almost fell asleep reading the teleprompter. Did you see that? He was talking about
Joe Biden himself says Joe Biden's going to beat Joe Biden, believe me.
I think that's what's going to happen. Once he comes out from wherever he's hibernating and has to get out there and talk to people, he doesn't have a plan to begin with. At least Trump's got a plan.
Well, he's got to get on a stage and debate Trump eventually. And mm-hmm. the Democrats are trying to stop a debate.
Yeah. I mean, he's going
to have to. They're trying to stop a debate, but he's going to have to. The people are going to demand it.
Oh, yeah. And you know who's going to ask more direct questions of Joe Biden while the debate is going on than anybody else? It'll be Trump. Because you know what? Some of those people from MSNBC, when they hold a debate there, or CNN, they're going to throw little lily pad questions at Joe Biden, where Trump will say, by the way, why don't you ask him about his son taking all of that money from that energy company, you know, that kind of thing.
So, it's all, Paul, this is all going to come out. Believe me, it's just going to happen at its own time.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make waves for everything because they know Barr is pretty close to coming out with all the baloney. I guess the Republicans or Barr himself, they got over 50 subpoenas for the old Obama administration.
Well, you know, we've been waiting and waiting. When are they going to do it?
I know. Well, you know, that might be the great October surprise.
Oh, I also got it because this is a Florida thing and you're a Florida guy. Did you know the University of Florida is ending its gator bait cheer?
Oh, my God. You know, these people, why don't these people grow a pair of cayunes anymore, huh? Why the hell do they think they've got to do this and they got to do that? I'm not going to give up anything I say. I can tell you that right now.
Well, they're saying they're giving it up because of its racial connotation. I was going to ask Ed.
What about Aunt Jemima? Okay?
Right. Oh,
Uncle Ben's, Aunt Jemima.
By the way.
Aunt Jemima's great-grandson is all pissed off because he was proud of that bottle with his great-great-grandmother's picture on it.
First of all, the new Aunt Jemima looks pretty sharp to me. I think she's a pretty classy-looking woman.
Yeah, they changed it.
And second,
well, you know what? That means the syrup's not going to be that good. How many classy ladies you know cook like that?
That's true. The original Aunt Jemima had the best syrup. I have to admit that one. But, Ed, go ahead. I wanted to ask Ed. Ed, did you know about the gator bait cheer?
Yeah, because there was a postcard in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where supposedly black children were put, like, in a certain position to attract gators.
Really?
As bait. not feed them to them, but have them like sit on a log or something like that.
Oh, you know, give me a freaking break.
Well, it's a matter of fact.
They sit on a log. Come on, this is getting ridiculous.
But Ed is right. The link to racism, borne out by news articles. For example, in 1923, Time magazine published a story about how, quote, colored babies were being used for alligator bait in Chipley, Florida. It said the infants are allowed to play in the shallow water while expert riflemen watch from concealment nearby. Well, first of all, that's if ever I've ever heard of something called child cruelty, there it is right
now,
there.
Now, it's not actually confirmed. That's a drawing. It's not a photograph.
That's true.
That's their.
It would have been wrong at any time, even back in 1923, right?
But that doesn't warrant.
So anyway, is this the thing where they do the arms?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't see how they can associate that with race.
I said.
I'm sorry.
If I was a student, ex-student at the University of Florida, or an alumni, I would demand the president's job of the university.
Yeah, I think you're right.
This is ridiculous. Somebody's got to draw the line somewhere.
I'd like to have the president's job over there. He probably makes $500,000 a year.
Sure.
At least.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
To make stupid decisions.
Right.
To make stupid decisions. Give me a break.
They got 52,000 students at the University of Florida.
Yeah.
By the way, it's expected to reopen in the fall. It'll be interesting to see if they at the next football game.
I hope the kids just do it anyway. Well, you know they're going to.
They will.
You know that. They're going to do it.
They will. Well,
not to change the subject, Paul, but I hope the people in Tampa, okay, are really happy with the mayors in Tampa and St. Pete, because they already blew getting the Republican convention there, which would have brought in millions and millions of dollars. Now they're forcing all the people and the businesses to wear masks again. They're going to put these people right out of business.
Yeah.
And I hope the people really thank Christman and Jane Castor for that, because they deserve to get everything they get for their dumbass decisions.
Come on, Uncle Jane Castor's doing a good job.
Give me a break.
Oh, boy.
Well, doing a good job. Doing a good job at what?
Hey, remember when we were talking about Charlie Crist? Where has that guy been lately? I haven't seen him. Why isn't he out more?
Well, actually,
He's taking care of babysitting Joe Biden.
Actually, there was an article a couple of weeks ago when there was a Black Lives Matter rally in St. Petersburg, and Charlie thought to come out and press a few hands out there.
Did he?
And a school teacher of middle school at Pinellas Park Middle went up and asked Charlie, I wanted to ask you about the bill that Nancy Pelosi is putting before Congress about this and that and this. And Charlie said he knew nothing of that bill.
Okay.
And there was another thing he asked him. I knew nothing. I don't know anything about the bill. And the guy was totally impressed by Charlie Crist, like you've known, we've known now for years.
Yeah.
He knows nothing.
Nothing.
Wow. Well, we'll see.
Oh, boy.
We'll see where all of this leads. But are you going to be watching that rally then tomorrow night?
Are you kidding me? I got a front row seat, buddy. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah.
This is going to be the best one he's going to put out, guaranteed.
I think it's going to be very interesting. I wonder if all the networks will show it.
I wonder if all the Democrats are going to watch it to see what they're up against. And they're all going to have their Kleenex in their hands crying, believe me.
Well, I'll say one thing. Donald Trump will have a lot to say, for sure.
And, you know, I hope Antifa shows up there tomorrow night, because they'll have a good time with the National Guard.
Oh, God.
Okay? Because they got them there protecting everything already. So you won't hear a peep out of them. I can guarantee you that.
Well, the one thing about conservatives, I don't care what anybody else says about them. They are neat. They're clean. And they don't tear places up. They don't destroy buildings. If anything, when they leave a place, it's cleaner than when they got there.
You're right.
You're right.
However, if there's a mess outside with protesters, you're going to clean up that mess, too.
Yeah,
believe me.
Probably so.
Hey, one thing. Of all these Black Lives Matter and all these other protests, out of all those signs that you see, how many signs do you ever see Biden for president?
None. Oh, no,
none.
I know where there's one. I know where there's one. It's in Dunedin.
You did.
They got the Biden for president sign up, and they got a little Biden signs across the front yard.
I'm talking about all those marches and protests.
Oh, no. You're right. You don't see none of that. No.
Not one Biden for president.
No.
Nothing.
No.
No.
No. Nope.
Does anybody?
That's because they don't even know who's running.
Now that I think about it, does anybody look whiter?
Maybe they can't. They can't spell Biden.
Does anybody? No, seriously though. Does anybody look whiter than Joe Biden? He looks pale to begin with. I mean, he's as white as white can be.
Paul, are you starting to talk racist on the radio there? I mean, come on. You can't talk black and white. You know that.
No.
Now you're making this a racist show. I don't know if I'm going to be able to command this no more.
You know, you make me laugh sometimes, Andrew, in a positive way. You really do. Listen, thank you so much, and we will be talking with you again next week.
You got it, buddy. Have a good week, and enjoy the show tomorrow night.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
See you later.
All right, there he goes, the master barber. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, why do Democrats keep fighting to keep inner-city kids from attending charter and private schools?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the great Tan Talk Radio Network, Freedom Works. And if you don't catch us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can catch us on podcast. So you can listen anytime your little heart desires. Just go to our website, which is ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Hit on that podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows, and you'll even know who the guest is in the top 10, ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Well, why is it that Democrats don't want inner-city children to attend private or charter schools? Why? Well, Thomas Sowell, who is a conservative black columnist, has written something in the Wall Street Journal I thought was rather interesting. He says, for decades, there's been widespread anxiety over how, when, or whether the educational test score gap between whites and non-whites could be closed. But that gap has already been closed by the Success Academy, which is a charter school network in New York. Their predominantly black and Hispanic students already are passing tests in math and English at a higher rate than any school district in the entire state, okay? These are black and Hispanic kids, inner city, and they're passing their tests better than the rest of the school districts. He says that includes predominantly white and Asian school districts where parental income is some multiple of what is among Success Academy students. So now the point is that black and Hispanic students can excel just like anybody else can if they're given the proper education. Why do Democrats insist that these inner city kids go to these public schools where they're not learning anything? Well, one of the reasons is the unions. The unions are shoveling cash into the pockets of the Democrats to support pushing the public schools, more money for the public schools, and keeping those children from getting vouchers where they can choose the school, or at least their parents can choose the school, that would suit them the best. Drives me crazy. All right, time for our top 10, Ed. You can wake up. I got a good one, I think. Top 10 most deadliest natural disasters, okay?
That'd be hurricane.
Yeah, there you go.
Flood.
Yes, sir.
Tornado. Mm-hmm. Earthquake.
Yes. Okay. There you go. No, a natural disaster won't be any aliens shooting at us.
Okay.
All right? All right, so here we go. This is from mentalflare.com. Number 10. The Antioch earthquake in 526. Massive earthquake struck the Byzantine city of Antioch. 250,000 were killed. Number 9. Tangshan earthquake. Chinese city of Tangshan, 1976. 255,000 dead. Number 8. The Haiyuan earthquake. This is in 1920. Eurasian tectonic plate and Indian plate drastically shifts. 273,000 dead. Number 7. The Haitian earthquake in 2010, magnitude 7 earthquake. Haiti lost about 300,000 people. Wow. Number 6. An Indian cyclone. You know, a cyclone is a hurricane on the other side of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
1839, massive cyclone in Coringa of India, 300,000 dead. Number 5. The Haiphong Typhoon, another deadly typhoon. Oh, you know, a cyclone, by the way, I'm wrong about that. A cyclone's a tornado. A typhoon is a hurricane. Let's get that straight. Anyway, the Haiphong Typhoon in 1881, 300,000 people. Number 4. Bola Cyclone, Bangladesh. This is 1970. A huge storm surge, between 300,000 and 500,000 dead. Number 3. Ed, you got to be quicker with the drums. Sorry, buddy. Number 3 is the Shaanxi province earthquake. A lot of these are in Asia. Also called the Zhejiang Great Earthquake, 1556, 830,000 dead. Number 2. Yellow River Flood. It's our first flood here. 1887, in China's Yellow River, 900,000 people dead. Wow. Well, I know you have no idea,
no. So
I won't even ask you to take a guess on it. The number
no
one
idea.
Deadliest natural disaster is 1931 Central China Flood. China saw absolute devastation at the hands of flooding. The Yangtze River overflowed, overwhelming about 70,000 square miles. Roughly 3.7 million people died in 1931 as a result. Wow, that's the worst of all. Pretty bad. Well, listen, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Please be careful. Please drive safely. And remember, freedom works.